In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous our God is merciful. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy, because he inclined his ear to me. Therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous. Our God is merciful. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Let us pray. O Lord, in this wondrous sacrament, you have left us a remembrance of your passion. Grant that we may so receive the sacred mystery of your body and blood, that the fruits of your redemption may continually be manifest in us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for Maundy Thursday comes from Exodus chapter 24. Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the just decrees. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. He rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and 12 pillars, according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the people of Israel, who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he threw against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, "All that the Lord has spoken we will do, and we will be obedient." And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God, and ate and drank. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle comes from Hebrews, chapter 9. When Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls, and with the ashes of a heifer, sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. For where a will is involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. For a will takes effect only at death, since it is not in force as long as the one who made it is alive. Therefore, not even the first covenant was inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment of the law had been declared by Moses to all the people, he took the blood of calves and goats, with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant that God commanded for you." And in the same way, he sprinkled with the blood both the tent and all the vessels used in worship. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 26th chapter. Glory be to thee, O Lord. Now, on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And as they were eating, he said, 'Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me.' And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him one after another, 'Is it I, Lord?' He answered, 'He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born.' Judas, who would betray him, answered, 'Is it I, Rabbi?' He said to him, 'You have said so.' Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. At this time, we continue by confessing our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who, for us men, and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There are many different names for the meal that our Lord instituted on that first Maundy Thursday. Most people in our churches will call it Holy Communion, or maybe just Communion for short. I tend to call it the Lord's Supper. Still, throughout the New Testament, it has been called the breaking of the bread, or some people will call it the Eucharist, or the Last Supper, or the sacrament of the altar. Today, we rejoice. We rejoice that the Lord has given us this special meal to sustain and strengthen our faith. And so today, what we're going to do is we're going to reflect on these different names of the Lord's Supper, especially that one that everybody prefers, Holy Communion. But we'll talk about a few of the other names as well. And so, Communion, right, is the first one. It's the most common. And the word Communion itself is a confession of faith. Communion comes from the same word as community. And so when we're calling this special meal communion, we're saying that we're gathering together as a community. Jesus' meal isn't designed just to be for one person who is sitting alone or for one group of a small faction of the church over here. No, communion is designed to be a communal meal. It's something that we're supposed to do together as a community. And if you want to kind of think about this in terms of how it works in the rest of the world outside of the church itself, think of like a potlucks happen in the church or a family style meal where everyone is sitting around the dinner table and you're all taking from the same bowl of salad or taking from the same pot of vegetables or cutting off the same piece of meat. That is what the Lord's Supper is designed to be. Everyone gathered around this common meal. And it isn't just communion with the people who are in the church either. It is also communion with our God. Jesus is truly present in, with, and under the bread and wine. And what Jesus does is he chooses to attach himself to simple human elements, simple earthly things like bread and wine, in order that he might come and be part of the community with you. So that he might be amongst us as we gather together as a church. And why does he do it? Why does Jesus want to be part of this meal? Well, that's where the word holy comes in. It's called Holy Communion. Jesus has purchased and won your holiness by going to a cross, by shedding his blood, by dying, and then 3 days later by rising back to life again. He uses his purifying blood to cover over your sins. He dies in your place. That way you can have freedom from the things that we have done wrong. And as we Christians gather together then, we are not just a community like any other community. There are plenty of people who gather together in any kind of different scenarios, but that doesn't make them a holy community. I mean, certainly they're a community of some type. We have online communities. We have our own community as far as the towns we live in. But when it comes to being a holy community, it means that everybody gathered has to be holy. And the only way to be holy is by God's word, is by God making you a holy person. And so this is what Jesus does. He makes us a holy community, a holy communion, and that means that if we're going to be holy by his word, by what he has done for us in the forgiveness of sins on the cross, by announcing that forgiveness into our ears, the only way for us to stay holy is if we remain in these things. And so if we ever depart from God's word, if we ever depart from Holy Communion and leave it off for a considerable amount of time, well, then we have this danger that we're going to sink back into this muck and mire of our sin, and we could lose our holiness. Jesus doesn't want that. I'm certain none of you want that either. And so this is why Christians gather on a regular basis for this special meal, because it sustains their faith, it strengthens your faith, it keeps you in Jesus Christ. Not only because your Christian brothers and sisters will encourage you in your faith, but because Jesus himself comes to you to make you holy. Holy Communion. It's a good word for Jesus' meal. Another one, like I said, I normally use is the Lord's Supper. And this one is important because the Lord's Supper, it tells us whose supper it is. Who defines the menu? Who defines the terms? Who defines, who's actually the host and who is delivering the meal? All of these things are defined in the word, the Lord's Supper. First, Jesus doesn't give away his body frivolously. He doesn't just kind of set this table before his disciples and go, have at it, boys. No, he is very, very deliberate to say, this bread is my body. And then he distributes it to his disciples. And then he says, this cup, and really he means the wine inside the cup, is the New Testament in my blood. And then he distributes it to his disciples. And so what are we eating and drinking in this sacrament? Well, we're eating, certainly, bread and wine. But we're eating the very body of Jesus. And we're eating the very blood of Jesus. How do I know? Well, because it's his supper. Because he's the one who's defined the menu. Because he is God feeding us. And we don't understand it. We understand how to eat bread and wine. We call that natural eating, just like we eat any meal. But when it comes to eating the very body and blood of Jesus Christ, that's a supernatural eating. It's we eat it in a way that we cannot explain by nature. Because honestly, nature doesn't explain how a little bit of word can come to bread and wine, and somehow it turns into Jesus' body and blood. That doesn't naturally happen. And so the only way we can say it happens is if it is the Lord who is doing it for his supper. If his powerful word says that's what we're receiving, well, then I will believe that that is what we are receiving. Additionally, this special meal is sometimes called the Eucharist. Eucharist is a Greek word that actually means give thanks. And it comes from when Jesus, what he does is first he gives thanks or he blesses the meal, and then he breaks the bread, and then he tells the disciples what he gives, and then he distributes it. But that first thing that Jesus does is he blesses it. He gives thanks to God for providing this special meal. And it's the same, really every meal. But it's the same thing that we should be doing when we come together to have the Lord's Supper. We should be thanking God. We should be rejoicing that he has given us this great gift because truth be told, Jesus didn't have to. He didn't have to leave us a testament behind. He knew he was going to die. He knew he was going to be raised again. He knew he was going to ascend into heaven. He didn't have to leave us with a last testament. He didn't have to leave us with a meal that would sustain and strengthen our faith. He didn't have to leave us with a meal that would grant us the very forgiveness of our sins. But he chooses to. He wants to. And that's something that we really ought to be thankful for. Because the Lord's Supper connects us to Jesus' death and resurrection. It connects us to our forgiveness and life and salvation that is found only in him. There's obviously plenty more we could say. There are plenty of other names for the different names for Jesus' meal here. But it's important for us to recognize a sad reality on this Maundy Thursday. It's called Holy Communion because we all get to gather together to receive of this one meal. And yet, sadly, as I'm preaching this sermon, there are no one in the pews. Nobody's here but me. We can't have communion together because we're prevented from being together. How can we be thankful? How can we Eucharist over this meal if we can't actually have it? How can it be blessed and distributed to an empty church? can't. The internet's great. I'm glad you get to continue to be in God's word, you know, through the power of the internet. And if I had a choice to be quarantined or sheltering in place in the age of the internet versus any other age that has existed before this, well, of course, the internet has been a spectacular tool. But it can never replace God's people gathering together. So my friends, lament. Lament over today. Lament that we have come to Maundy Thursday and we can't even celebrate Jesus' meal. Lament over the fact that we don't even know when we're going to be able to join together again to have it. The future is so uncertain. Lament that God's good gifts for you cannot be received at this time, at least not through Jesus' Lord's Supper. Now, today is a day of lament. And today is a day to remember that this is not forever. It's not. Remember what Jesus told his disciples? He said, "I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Jesus knew this reality, that he would not be able to rejoice with his closest friends for until his Father's kingdom. I don't know when we'll be able to rejoice over Jesus' meal together. But you should rejoice in that it won't be forever. We won't have to refrain from taking this meal forever. Because Jesus shares one little word with you today. Until. Jesus knew that there would be a time that he would be with his disciples again, and they could rejoice over a meal together. And so this Maundy Thursday, reflect on the great gift that God has given you. Reflect that he rejoiced to deliver this meal to his church. Lament that we cannot partake of it together today. And then rejoice. Rejoice in the word until. For we will all be united once again in one holy communion. We will all give thanks for this blessed gift that the Lord has given us. And we will receive the forgiveness, life, and salvation found in Jesus' death and resurrection, given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. Until then, remain in Jesus' word. Remain in Jesus' promise. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. On this holy night, in which our Lord gathered his disciples in the upper room, we come to you, O Lord, in his name, with the concerns of our hearts for ourselves and all people. Grant to us zeal for your house, O Lord, and love for the things of your kingdom, that your church may enjoy harmony and peace, and confess your word with one voice before the world. Cover us with the blood of Christ, and grant us your Spirit, that we may walk in your ways and do the good you desire. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, give to us faithful pastors who will preach your word in season and out, and give us ears and hearts willing to hear and heed your voice. Raise up godly men to serve us as pastors, and raise up godly men and women to serve as teachers and in other offices for your service. Bless those preparing for full-time church work in our colleges and seminaries, as well as those considering church work careers. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Deliver us, O Lord, from temptation, and lead us to know and do what is holy and right according to your word and commands. Bless those preparing for baptism and those being catechized into the faith, that they would be steadfast in faith in Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In the midst of enemies that threaten and a world filled with conflict, give to us wise leaders, O Lord, that we may be preserved from harm. Guide those who make and administer our laws, and give to all judges and magistrates knowledge to render justice with mercy. Bless the members of the armed forces who defend us here and abroad. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Have mercy on us, Lord. Spare your people and turn back this pandemic. Preserve the sick, comfort the fearful, relieve the suffering, and grant to the dying your peace, O Lord. Hear us on behalf of all those who have asked us to pray, especially those on our prayer list and those we remember in our hearts. Give them healing in accordance with your will, strength to bear up under the burdens of this mortal life, and comfort and hope in trial. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As generously as you have given to us, O Lord, teach us to be generous in giving, that the poor may not suffer want, nor your church be deprived of the resources to serve your purpose both here and across the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, your Son instituted this most blessed sacrament to eat and drink, that what is promised in his testament may be truly believed by his friends and heirs. Have mercy on all who are kept from your table in extraordinary circumstances. Let the words of this testament echo in their ears and hearts, and in true faith, let them believe these words, trusting in the forgiveness your Son has promised. Stir up in us a desire to commune with our fellow Christians on your true body and blood, and bring us soon to your table. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Bless us, O Lord, as again we walk in the footsteps of Jesus to the cross. Help us to ponder well the love he has shown us by his suffering and death, and make us so confident of the resurrection to everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You know, O Lord, what we need, and you have promised never to abandon us. Help us to endure in faith, and with a joyful countenance, receive the blessings of your grace and the answers to our prayers. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, from the words of my groaning? O my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust in you at my mother's breasts. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me, like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death, for dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him, and stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it.